Welcome to Nightlife, the podcast.
When was the last time you saw a really great musical? I mean, one that defied all expectations of what a musical should be, you know? One that even people who can't stand musicals would even enjoy. Hold on, there's someone at the door.
Hello, my name is Elder Price, and I would like to share with you the most amazing book.
No, thank you, I'm fine. There's a whole lot of you now here. Where did you all come from?
Elder, show it!
Hello!
Hello!
My name is
Elder Cunningham!
And we would like to share with you this book of Jesus Christ!
Hello!
Hello!
Door.
Hi, ho!
Just take this book!
It's free!
You!
Amazing!
You simply won't believe how much this book will change his mind!
Changes my
mind! So you won't burn in
hell!
You're gonna die someday! But if you read this book, you'll see that there's another way!
Hello!
Spend eternity with friends and family!
Hello!
We can fully guarantee you that this book will change your life!
Book of Mormon. It's got a couple of months left in Sydney, and it's just been announced that it's on its way to Melbourne and Brisbane in the new year. Nick Cox plays Elder Cunningham in the musical. Welcome to Nightlife, Nick.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Look, I saw it recently and absolutely loved it. So congratulations on such a great production.
Thank you so much. That's so wonderful to hear.
Look, for those who aren't familiar with the Book of Mormon, first of all, they're missing out. But can you give those people a bit of an insight as to what the story's about? Because, you know, it kind of pulls from real life in some respects.
Absolutely, yeah. The best things in art are often pulled from real life. So, yeah, it's about two mismatched Mormon missionaries that are, I play Elder Cunningham, who is kind of the outlier of the group, and my colleague Sean Johnston plays Elder Price, who's kind of that picture-perfect Mormon, and they get paired together and are sent on a mission, a two-year mission, to a country about as far away and unexpected from Salt Lake City as possible, and then chaos and hilarity ensue.
It does. Look, tell me about the kind of person that Elder Cunningham is. Because, you know, means well, doesn't he?
He really does. Elder Cunningham has just such a huge heart. He means well. He wants to be loved. He wants to love people. He just wants friendship and companions. Unfortunately for him, his interests are somewhat outside the scope of the Book of Mormon itself, and that's where kind of he runs into some interesting scenarios.
Yeah, he does. Look, the musical, the original Broadway character was played by Josh Gad, who best known for his voice work, I think, in the Frozen films. People might be familiar with them. Look, what were you able to draw on anything from your experience on your life to bring like your own version of Elder Cunningham to this production?
Yeah, so I felt like I sort of had to because, as you said, Josh Gad, well known for, he originated the role, also Frozen, Olaf.
Yeah.
You know, what he does with his voice and his choices are so unique. He's truly a unicorn. So I knew that if I was going to play this part, I couldn't copy what he did because I just couldn't do it. He's one of a kind, and that would just seem disingenuous. So I really had to pull from a lot of things in my life and those awkward moments, whether it be from like high school growing up. I really tried to manipulate my posture a little bit to try to stand out, definitely raise the pitch of my voice, tried to find other unique things that I could bring to the character to make him really be the outlier of the group.
Yeah.
While trying to honor Josh Gad, I think the best way to honor him was to try to let him be. Do you know what I mean?
And, you know, and try and, like, what, really channel your inner nerd, I guess.
Oh, yes. Inner nerd channeling was 100. And you know what? That's really easy for me to pull from. So there was no struggle there.
Look, how much did you know about the musical and Mormonism? Very separate things in some regards. Before you took on the role, Nick.
Yeah, great question. I knew definitely the music. I was a big fan of the album as soon as it came out, which it won the Grammy for Best Musical Theater album, as well as 9 Tony Awards. So I was very familiar with the music. My family and I played it all the time. And as you mentioned, like, we weren't a huge musical theater family growing up. Like, we listened to some, but that was played all the time because the music is just so brilliantly written. I had seen the story once on Broadway in, like, 2013, I think it was. But it was so long ago that I knew the story roughly, but I forgot all the details and all the, you know, the real bits about it. Yeah. But
well, how old were you when you saw it the first time?
Oh, it must have been, like, I think it was 18.
Yeah.
Ish,
so maybe some of it may have gone over your head at the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. It was just the language and the spectacle was just, it was so wonderfully captivating. So I was just enthralled. But now going back at it, I was like, oh, yeah, this is kind of funny. Missed this detail.
Yeah, because I went with a friend and she was like, I saw this when I was 14 and loved it. But now seeing it as an adult, I love it for a whole other reason.
Yeah, it hits different. Yeah, it does.
So if you weren't, you know, you didn't grow up in a musical theater family and weren't a huge musical theater buff when obviously getting into music, what made you make that change over and go into that world?
Yeah, so I grew up, I was playing, I was a saxophone player as a kid. We started in fifth grade. I played saxophone and just loved playing in bands throughout school. That was kind of what I did. And my mom wanted me to put us in summer camp so that we had something to do and weren't just sitting around the house all day. And she signed me up for a band camp, but it got canceled because there wasn't enough interest, unfortunately. But my mom put me in a different program called Arts for Youth, which was basically just kind of a crash course over the summer in anything and everything arts, from like movie making, improv games, singing, dancing, you name it. And that was where I first kind of, we sang, I think we were doing improv games, which was a blast. And then we sang some choral songs, which was really, really fun. And then that following year was Arts for Teens. I had aged out, and that's where we did our first junior musical. That was where I kind of found out I actually had a voice. I could sing.
Oh,
and
wow.
That really just changed the trajectory. I really got into musical theater through the music side of it.
Wow. Okay. And what was it like when you found your people there?
Oh my gosh. I was like, there's a bunch of weirdos like myself. This is great. This is awesome. It was wonderful. It was just such a welcoming community. You really feel like you found your group and your tribe. And we were all really kind of creative and like floaters in the group of people in school. You know what I mean? We got along with everybody, but we hadn't found our group. And so it was really, it was a wonderful feeling.
Mm. You're on Nightlife on ABC Radio. I'm James Finlay. And with you is Nick Cox, who plays Elder Cunningham in the Book of Mormon musical in Sydney at the moment, but heading to Melbourne and Brisbane in the new year. It's the musical itself, I kind of knew what it was about before I went in, but I didn't want to, I'm one of those people that does not listen to the music before I go in. I want everything to be the first time, because I know sometimes with musicals you get people who will listen to the soundtrack like back to back, like you did. But I was like, no, I want to go in fresh. And what blew me away was, well, I knew South Park, you know, the creators of South Park created this, but my gosh, it really, it was like watching a South Park-esque musical in the you know, there's profanity and vulgarity and blasphemy, which is fabulous. But it really surprised me when I was looking into it, the Book of Mormon, that there were many Mormons who are actually big fans of the musical.
Yeah. Isn't that, it's amazing. And it's traditionally, there's a joke that's kind of made its way through the Book of Mormon lore and fandom, which was that on Broadway, the theater is directly across from the Mormon church. And so the Mormon church took out an ad in the Playbill saying something along the lines of, this is like a really hilarious story. If you're curious about the real thing, please come and chat to us. And so they just took it in good humor, good stride.
Yeah.
And I mean, how wonderful is that?
That is so cool. There were a couple of people at the show that I saw that were in the Mormon outfits, and yeah. We were just wondering whether it was people who dressed up for the show or whether they were actually Mormons. We will never know.
Well, yeah, it'll remain a mystery. I would wager that it was someone who wanted to dress up.
Yeah.
We've met a few of them afterwards. I would love a super fan.
That's fantastic. Well, in terms of like costume changes, that is great for the show because you have so little changes, right?
It's deceptive.
All right.
A few more costume changes than maybe what you might think. You know, the good thing about black pants and a white shirt is you can buy them in bulk. So can swap them around every now and then.
That's true. What have been some of the biggest challenges of the role for you personally getting into it?
Oh, great question. I think the biggest challenge is, this is a couple. One is definitely the physicality of it. Just with the way I've kind of elected to carry myself.
Yeah.
And what was approved from, you know, our directors and everyone from the team. You know, there's a lot more upkeep and self-care that I need to do that I wasn't exactly anticipating. So a lot more, you know, exercise and stretching and yoga to kind of offset what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But the real challenge from an acting perspective is there's such an easy trap that you can fall into when you're playing someone who's very joyful, very loud, very kind of larger than life, to not play the truth of it and just to be kind of like chaotic for the sake of it. So it's really just making sure that the intention is clear. I'm listening and reacting, but not trying to do things just for the sake of doing it. There has to be some truth to it. So that's the acting challenge, definitely, yeah. With Cunningham.
Gosh, look, here's a bit of from one of the tracks that might, it's from the original Broadway soundtrack, but that might give listeners a little bit of an idea of just how active and much energy there is on stage.
And as long as we stick together, and I stay out of your way,
my way,
we'll change the world forever, and make tomorrow better day.
Mostly red.
So quit thinking about it and do it. How ready and psyched are we?
Life is about to change for is about to change for me, and life is about to change for you and me,
but me mostly.
And there's no limit to what we can do, me and you,
but mostly me.
Elder Price finishing that track there, but because a bit of an example of just how much energy you need for this role, how do you keep up?
Oh my gosh, just a hope and a prayer. No, a lot of discipline, strategically timed caffeine, and just a little reminder that I'm living the dream that I've always hoped I would get to be able to do.
Yeah.
Nick
Cox is with you playing Elder Cunningham in the Book of Mormon musical. You're on Nightlife on ABC Radio. For anyone who's picked up, you do have an accent. You've moved here from Boston in 2019. What made that move for you? What was the decision to come over to here?
Yeah, my beautiful wife is Australian. So
that'll do it.
That'll do it, yeah. So we spent some time in the States. We met in 2015. We were both singers on a cruise ship.
Wow.
So we were singing there. We did a couple of things over. We did another two contracts together on ships and then tried to live in the States for a little bit and just kind of decided that we'd love to try Australia. So I moved out and coincidentally, next week I get my Australian citizenship.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm here. I'm here for good.
Then this role came up, which seems quite perfect.
Yeah, well, it was, you know,
that was 6 years ago now, but
yeah,
2019 does feel like yesterday.
It feels like yesterday. We had those 3 years with the whole lockdowns and everything, but I did Beauty and the Beast. That was my first show. And fell into this.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the musical itself, and because it's co-creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone, of course, the creators behind South Park. Mm-hmm. Have you found many similarities yourself between South Park and The Book of Mormon?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah, you can definitely tell. There's some, I can't say too much because I don't want to spoil anything, but there's also some wonderful tie-ins from the show, as in the TV show South Park, into The Book of Mormon. So if you're like a super fan of South Park, you might recognize some kind of recreations of the cartoon to the stage, which is really, really neat. Also, South Park, the writers, Matt and Trey, they write, a lot of people don't know this, but they got in, they're music writers. They went, I think one or two of them went to school for composition. So they write a lot of songs in the South Park TV show, but then naturally, when they decided they wanted to do the Book of Mormon, their skills were so transferable, not from just the satirical writing, but also their musicality.
Yeah, wow, okay. And so where did they, because the songs are fantastic, do they pull from, you know, where do they pull that inspiration from?
Yeah, so that's the, for musical theater fans, you'll hear little Easter eggs from all sorts of musicals throughout, I mean, as far back as The Music Man, I think, which was like, I don't know, the 50s or something like that.
Yeah.
So they're pulling from the classics in an amazing satirical way, and they're all just absolute bangers from all these shows throughout the century.
Yeah, wow.
So for people who aren't musical theater fans, they're coming away being like, wow, the music's so good, and it's because they're picking some of the songs that they've chosen to be the inspiration for what they're telling are just the top of the game and have been the top throughout, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years.
Yeah. Because like the You and Me, But Mostly Me, certainly like is sounds like a classic musical song. You know what I mean?
Does it? Yeah,
I think
definitely
so.
Does. Yeah. Yeah. That one. Yeah, I know we were very lucky to work with in the rehearsal process. Stephen Aremus came out. And for those who don't know him, he's, I mean, he's an absolute legend. He's did the musical orchestrations, I believe, for The Book of Mormon, but he also is working on the Wicked movies now.
Wow.
You know, he's worked on Wicked. And I believe for that song in particular, Matt and Trey said, we want you to Wicked the heck out of this song for inspiration. So he did. And you get just an amazing blend of epic musical theater and hilarious satirical lyrics.
Oh my gosh, it's absolutely a Wicked song now that I see it.
Yeah, spoiler.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Oh, that's so good. Look, so it's interesting though, because, you know, when we're looking at seeing what's in the US right now, you're from the US. South Park is pretty much like free reign of what they can do at the moment. This latest season is just incredible with their political commentary.
Yeah. I've heard.
Yes. you should tap in.
Yeah.
Do you think that creating something successful and beloved of like the Book of Mormon has anything maybe to do with that they've been able to like push forward because of the success of their other work?
I think in a way they're separate entities, but I think what the Book of Mormon did, because South Park has been super successful for a long time and it has always pushed the boundaries, but I think by creating a musical, it just opened up a whole new fan base and a whole new appreciation. So I feel like now, and especially today with kind of what they're doing, people are tuning in probably now more than ever. But I do think dabbling in the field of musical theater and being as successful as they were, I mean, they wrote one musical and it won 9 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, is going to open the door for a whole new fan base and kind of a following.
Yeah. Well, you're closing up Sydney very soon, and then you're heading to Melbourne and Brisbane. Will there be many changes? Like, how does that happen? How does it work when you move cities like that?
Yeah, well, we're going to find out for this one. I think ideally, we just go in, we rehearse, we put everything down as we did for Sydney, and whatever changes occur, we just roll with the punches, if there are any. But as of now, hopefully it remains the same.
Yep, plug and play. Off you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Nick, it's been so great to chat with you tonight. And congratulations on the season. It's a fantastic show. It must be an absolute dream to work on. Thanks for spending time with us tonight.
Thank you very much. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate the conversation. Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.